How many stayed up and watched that game last night? Raise your hand. Till the end. Raise your hand. All right, I'll try to keep you awake. I did too, so don't worry about it. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be in a very familiar passage today. And as we're starting this new year, 2023, and man, I look at my life, and this year, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen that I have no clue about. I'm fixing to turn 55, and for some of us, that's old. For some of us, I remember those days. It gets worse. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to take place in the next 365 days. But God does. And so for some of us, for some of our family in the church, we're facing just funerals in the next week or so. Miss Mary Virginia went to be with the Lord this week. Mr. Craig Southwell's dad went to be with the Lord this week. Miss Suzanne Young's dad went to be with the Lord this week. And so we've got people that are hurting, people that are processing that and going through that new normal in their life. You know, we have people facing surgeries. My daughter will have surgery on January 10th, some exploratory stuff to my oldest daughter. And so we're praying for that they'll be able to find out what's going on there. And we've got people that are going through treatments. We got people that we don't even know what goes next. Like, how are we going to survive this year? All of us are in one of those. We got people that are just getting married, right? Just got engaged to people right here. And Ashley just got engaged. And so there's upcoming weddings. And all of that is uncertainty in our life. But the certainty is this: God already knows what's going to take place. And so I look at this passage, and it's one of my favorite passages to go to when I'm speaking with football teams or athletic teams or athletes, because it's a great passage of a transitional time of leadership from Moses to Joshua. And it also is great because God gives a game plan. How many likes a game plan? I love a game plan. I want to know where we're going. I want to know what we're going to do. All right? I want to know how to get there. Well, God gives all of that right here in these nine verses. And so I'm excited for this. And so it's 2 points. All right, I said I got 2 points with a whole lot of boiling in between, right? All right, we'll figure it. Mary Ann said, hey, we like short because I'm in Kids for Truth, and I've got all the kids back there. She got Brother Paul back there probably to help out, so he'll be all right. If he comes in here, we're in trouble. So I want to talk today about how do we face the future with confidence? How do we look at what's coming ahead, whether we know about details or not? How do we face the future? How do we face that with confidence? Joshua 1 starts out in verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over to Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father God, we come to you, and God, I just give you this time. I give you this message. I don't want them to hear my words. I want them to hear your words through me. Remove anything from my mind that you don't want me to say. Give me clarity of thought. Give me clarity of speech. Lord, you know everybody in this building And those that will watch it later, you know where they're at. God, help us to yield to the Holy Spirit. Bring conviction where conviction's needed. And God, for some of us, maybe it's just that first step of obedience, of coming to know in this relationship with you. For some of us, it's we need to let go and not worry so much and know that you're in charge. God, whatever it is, may you be glorified in these next few moments. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And so we're at the edge of the beginning of the new year. It's 2023. And for some of us, we're like, man, I was born a long time ago. 2023? Whew. Another year of uncertainties, of unknowns to us, but everything is known to God. Whatever they are, whatever we're going to face and walk through them, we will walk through them by the grace of God. We won't be doing it alone because God walks with us through this life. The future may be uncertain, but God is already there. That's the cool thing about God. He's in our past, he's in our present, he's in our future. He doesn't just show up, he's already there. Do I understand that? Nope, not completely. But God is everywhere, all the time. And Joshua is taking over for a couple million people at least. Can you imagine that job? Now, I don't know if you've ever taken over a position from somebody, but it can be challenging. And when I worked restaurant management, we would change stores about every year and a half to 2 years, and you could see where the previous manager focused on, because there's always strengths and weaknesses. And so they would rotate us because they wanted us to get to build different teams and to see different situations. But here's Joshua, who has been by Moses' side. He's one of the original spies that went into the promise. He's one of him and Caleb were the ones like, hey, we can take it. We can do it. And the other 10 said, oh, no, they're walled cities. We're like grasshoppers to those people. We can't do it. And so they spent 40 years walking around in the desert while all that generation had to die. And Joshua is chosen to be Moses' successor. And so he is stepping in after Moses. He's got a job on his hand. And his job is to lead the Israelites into the promised land. They're at the edge of a new beginning. We're at the edge of this new year. They didn't know what was going to happen. We don't know what was going to happen. They're about to leave their old life of wandering in the wilderness and step into this new life of a new land with a new leader. A lot of questions, I'm sure. And they're not going to hear that familiar voice of Moses, who got them through that, who led them up to this point. They're going to hear Joshua. And everything is changing. And guess what? In your life, everything will change. Nothing stays the same. I don't necessarily like that feeling. I don't think a lot of people like drastic change. But Joshua, the new Israel leader, found himself in this situation that God had placed him. God had rose him up. And God comes and speaks to him in these verses. And in these verses, you see 8 or 9 times, depending on your translation, the word I. I will be with you. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Have I not commanded you? Have I not given you this? Be strong and courageous. And it's a personal relationship. And that's the same relationship that we have. In this short talk, this speech is kind of like a go get them, Joshua, but I'm going to build you up. And here's the game plan. Let's hit the road and do it. You stay toward in my plan. You stay focused on what I'm giving you. We're going to be able to make this happen. And he gives them keys of how we can face the future with confidence. Moses had just died. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua had been picked to lead. And Israel's never known a different leader than Moses. It's always been Moses up to this point. Because he's the one that led them out of Egypt. He's the one that God picked out of the wilderness. Hey, I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people. Can you imagine how Joshua felt? Are you sure, God? I'm sure it's one of the reasons why God comes to Joshua to encourage him, to assure him, yeah, I really need you, and I've got you, and I'm going to help you, and you stay focused on these things, and I promise you, you will prosper. I promise you will have success. I promise things will go good. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to hear that. God tells him to be bold and courageous. He was scared. How do we know he was scared? Verse 9. Do not be afraid. Why would he say don't be afraid if Joshua wasn't scared? Some of us are scared about what 2023 may hold. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. See, what we got to find, we got to realize that the first point is this, that our courage is found in God alone. You can't find your courage in anything else but God. It's got to be focused on God. God will not say something that's unnecessary. And in here he says, don't be afraid. Fear not, in some translations. Joshua is afraid. He's overwhelmed, I'm sure, by this task of filling in the shoes, filling in for Moses, and leading this nation into the promised land. It's not going to be a simple walk in the park. They have to fight against seven nations that already live there. And one of them is larger than Israel. That's the task that Joshua has. It isn't an imaginary fear. The spies testifies that there was real some 40 years ago. Hey, their cities are walled. They've got these, I mean, we're like grasshoppers to these people. At this point, God shows up in Joshua's life. And in our lives, the greatest point of need, God will show up. And God gives Joshua a pep talk. And when you're in whatever this year holds, the dire straits, the uncertainty of life, God speaks. Pay attention. Don't wallow in your pain. Don't dwell on the problem. Listen hard to God. The talk that God gives Joshua gives two anchors, so to speak, two points of reference for Joshua that he's got to hold on to. And the only two things certain in our times of uncertainty is God and his word. Those things will not change. Everything else in your life can change. But God and his word will never, ever, ever change. There's three things that are eternal: God, his word, and our soul. So if we're willing to cling on to those things that are eternal, that are unchanging, that are certain, then God and his word will help our souls in the times of uncertainty in our life. Your courage has got to be found in God alone. It's got to. Because he knows what you're walking into in 2023. He knows what I'm walking into in 2023. The good, the bad, the ugly. God speaks with Joshua about himself. He gives those I statements. I'm about to give you everything I promised. I promised Moses. I was with Moses. I will be with you. I will never leave you. It's all about God. What he has promised, and what he has planned to do. And God will do the same for you, and he does the same for me. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He challenges us to walk with him in our dire times. Obstacles are not a problem to God. He parted the Red Sea. He fed millions in the deserts. Their clothes did not dissipate. He got a nation across the Jordan River. He will bring down the walls of Jericho. Joshua's confidence has to be anchored in God alone and not anything else. If Joshua's confidence was not anchored in God, how does he go to the people and say, hey, God told me we're going to walk around this city for a certain number of days? They're like, what? Moses didn't do that. This guy Joshua's nuts. And we're just going to be quiet. We'll walk around the city, and then we'll go back to camp. Next day, get up to go do it again. Next day, get up, go do it again. Man, this Joshua dude, he is loco. He has lost it. There's nothing happening. We ever done that? God tells us to do something, we're grumbling. God, this ain't never going to work out. I can't believe God would want to do this. What? That didn't make any sense, God. Didn't make any sense then, but God told Joshua, hey, you follow me, and you'll have success. I'm going to help you, but you got to do it my way, not your way. Joshua's confidence has to be anchored in God and God alone, and our confidence has to be anchored in God and God alone. Not in himself, not in his people, not in their resources, and not in their circumstances. Our courage is found in God and God alone. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how much family you've got. I don't care anything. If you are courage and your confidence is in anything else but God, it's going to fail. Even before Joshua starts doing anything, he's got to believe that God is present and that God rules. And he's going to follow him no matter what God says. If he didn't believe that, how would he go to the people and say, hey, at Jericho, this is what we're going to do? You got to believe that God's in control. Someone put it this way. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the absence of self. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the absence of self. See, fear is natural. It's a feeling that comes over us when we face a danger, a threat, or a difficult situation or task. We can't eradicate fear, but we can overcome fear. The great acronym for fear, and I've said this before, F-E-A-R, is false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. A lot of what we fear never comes to pass. It's a false expectation, okay? But you can't pretend that fear is not there. You just got to believe that someone is greater than the present circumstance. VeggieTales. Years ago, watching VeggieTales. God is bigger than Boogeyman, right? God is bigger than the Boogeyman. Don't need to get VeggieTales. Great truth. Sing a whole lot better than me. We have courage because God is present. We have courage because God is present in our circumstance, in our situation, with us. That's what makes David run into battle when his brothers are hiding in the tent. When they have all the armor, they have all the protection. He's like, I'm going to take this slingshot because my God's bigger than that God that they're following. He can run with courage, with just a sling, with all the armor back in the tent, and do what God's called him to do. We conquer faith. We conquer fear by faith. Can't eradicate fear, but you can overcome it with faith in God, that God's bigger than whatever circumstance you're facing. So our courage is found in God alone. Are you afraid? You afraid of 2023? You afraid that your grades won't be good, students? Adults, are you worried that you won't have enough to retire or when you retire? You fearful that your career may be over because you're passed over for a promotion? think we got to learn to not fear the things that we can't control. Dwell on the one who is in control. Our courage is found in God alone. And so what I've found in my life, I don't do this all the time because I fall short, just like all of us. But when I stay vertical in my relationship with God, I don't see the problems in such a bad light. But when I look at the problems and the circumstances and the situation, man, that's all I see. And then my eyes aren't on God. And my courage is on, how can I fix this problem? How can I fix this thing? How can I handle this? What can I do? What can Tim do? It's the wrong vantage point. I've got to stay vertical, stay focused on God, know that He's in control, know that He's present with me, and He is where I need to focus on. Doesn't mean the problem goes away, but He'll guide my footsteps on how to deal with it. God was fully involved in every step, in every battle with the Israelites as they're taking over this promised land, and He wants to be involved in our life too. Be strong and courageous. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. You may not be able to take the feeling of fear or anxiety away, but when you're facing difficulties, but you can act with confidence because of what God's word says, because of what God promises. You can choose to trust God. He is present and He is in control. It's an act of faith. It's a choice that we make. It's a decision that we take. And so we've got to find our courage in God alone. Second point is this: our success is grounded in God's word. So the two anchors that Joshua had are the two anchors we got. We got to have God and we got to have God's word. Those are the two anchors. They got to be in our life in 2023, just like they were in their life thousands of years ago with Joshua. Now, Joshua, he says, hey, this word, keep this word, meditate on it day in, day and night. He had five books. Most scholars believe Moses wrote the five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the books he's talking about. Hey, meditate on those. Keep those in front of you, all right? Joshua 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or left that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll be successful. So the second thing that we can be certain about is God's word. What He has said. We see some emphasis here in this 7, 8, and 9 of this text. This guy says, be careful to obey all that law. Meditate on it day and night. Think about what it has said. His word will give us confidence. It'll feed our souls. It'll quench our thirst. It'll soothe our wounds. It comforts our hearts, and it inspires hope in hopeless situations. Meditating means thinking through, pondering it. The Lord says the key to being prosperous and successful is to meditate on His word. So how are you meditating on God's word? What's your game plan? He's given it to us right here. Don't turn from it. But you got to know it to not turn from it. You got to be in the word to know the word. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You got to speak it. You got to meditate. You got to think on it day and night. Whoo, we're lucky we give them 15 minutes some days, right? Carve out time in 2023 to spend time in His word. Now, I have goals, and I have, like, for my spiritual walk every year, I have goals, and I set time and have a plan. I like a plan. And so my plan every year is to read the Bible through in a year. That's my plan. That's part of my goals. All right? This year, this is a Bible that I'm reading through. It's called the Disciples Study Bible. It's a different study Bible than I've read before. And so that's one of my goals, is to read that Bible through in a year. Okay? I also have, this is called A Year with the Church Fathers, talking about the early church fathers and some meditation thoughts to think about on the day. So I'm going to use those two for my personal growth. That's part of it. There's some other things that I'll add, tack along to it. And I have a goal of memorizing a verse a week, all right? And so those are goals that I have, spiritual goals, all right? What are your goals? Where do you want to be in 2024, January 1st? Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So what are you putting in place right now to get to that point you want to be? You want to be a prayer warrior? You better spend time in prayer. We got some godly people. There are some godly people. Miss Carolyn Crosby, I love her to death. Your mama, a prayer warrior. And I realized that not long after I got, I've been here almost 17 years. And I realized she is a prayer warrior. And there are many times she goes, Brother Tim, so soft-spoken, Brother Tim, how's the youth ministry going? She'd talk to me. She'd ask me. Oh, it's going great. But I would go, I'd call her, or I'd see her. I said, hey, Miss Carolyn, can you pray for this student? And I give her name. And I knew she was praying for that student. Why? Because she's a prayer warrior. And I wanted her prayers focused in on a student that was going through a tough time or a situation. So I was linking them together. Why? Because that's what we need to do. Because prayer works. Y'all do know that, right? And so our success has to be in God's word. So we got to understand God's word. We got to make time for God's word. His word will give confidence. We got to be strong. We'll be strong because we have the word of God in us. And then when we utilize the truths of God's word in our lives, it can't just be knowledge. You can memorize scripture all you want, but if you don't apply it to your life, it ain't working. So when I came to know Christ later in life, I had an anger issue. One of the first verses God took me to was James 1, 19 and 20. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And what God was teaching me, and he's still teaching me, hey Tim, when you get angry, when you get upset, and you get just, we all get there, right, sometimes? Maybe it's just me. He said, hey, when you get angry, you are not living right according to the way I look at things. And so I had to memorize that verse. And so I wrote it down. I had it on my arm, like letters. I had it on my dash of my truck. I had it in my office. I had it on my mirror in my bathroom. Anywhere I could look, I wanted to see that verse. And I memorized it. And when I'd start feeling that angst, that it's building up, I'd start quoting it. Why? Because you can't think of two things at one time. So what I did was I was taking my mind, all that, off of the situation, putting it on God's word, and I'm saying, okay, God, I know, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Let me just step out of that illustration, give you another one. Hey, you can insert quick to hear, slow to speak, 2023, slow to text, slow to type. Right? Not just speak. What are we putting out there? What are we sharing? What are we responding to? Had to apologize to my wife this morning because I was grumbly last night. I sent her a text. I let her know what I was thinking about. And this morning when I was up praying for this message, God's like, remember James 1, 19 and 20? Yeah. Includes of what you're texting. So I had to send my wife a text. Man, sorry for how I handled that situation last night. It was not right. And I need you to forgive me. Did I want to do that? No. I didn't. Just being honest. But we gotta apply God's word to our lives. It's not just good to have head knowledge. We got to be living it out each and every day. It's not just the knowledge of it, but knowing it doesn't change us. The devil knows God's word. He used it to tempt Jesus. Is it not written? And Jesus said, it is written. He fought it with Scripture. He fought the temptation with Scripture. We got to fight our temptation with Scripture. The reason we fall in temptation a lot of times is because we don't know the Scripture to back it up, to fight against it. It's our willingness to appropriate the Word of God into our lives that transforms us. When we believe it and trust it enough to do what it says, God changes us through His Holy Spirit. I just be honest with you. I don't know why my wife married me. I don't. Because I wasn't saved. I thought I was. I wasn't living for God. I was a jerk. I was an angry person. God transformed me by His word. It wasn't what I could do. It's what I allowed His word to do to me and allowed to, because I trusted it. It's not about we have the word, but that the word has us. That is another way of saying that is that we are being influenced by the word. It's not that I have Christ, but that Christ has me. It's no longer I that lives, but He that lives in me. He reigns in my life. I have surrendered to Him. For the word of God to take root, we need to meditate on it. It needs to be consistently in our lives. So pick up some verses. Go and seek out something. Our life got to be grounded in God's word. I can't promise you everything's going to be fine this year in your life. I can't promise you that. I can't promise you that it's going to be a bed of roses all year long. Can't promise you that. The only thing I can promise you and what is certain is that God is with you wherever you are, and His word is sure and will bring comfort and strength in your life. Had the privilege of going by and seeing Miss Mary Virginia this week when she was in the hospital getting ready to transport her to hospice. And she knew who I was. We had a conversation. We're talking. I was talking to her about how she helped start Kids for Truth and the many years of ministry with that. We talked about a lot of different stuff in ministry, and I thanked her for her testimony, for her life that she's lived. And we just had a great conversation. And I know where she's at. Certain of that. Why? Because I know what God's word says. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And she was a believer, and she knew, had Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. So when we have that relationship, Jesus is with us. That's certain. And this promise for us is true. There's certainty in it. If we put our trust in Christ, He will lead us. He will walk with us in this year. So as we close, I want you to think this. Is your courage found in God and God alone? Maybe there's someone here that would say, I need this relationship, and I'd love to talk to you. Maybe the second point was, hey, we got to be founded in God's, grounded in God's word. Maybe we need to make a commitment today. Say, hey God, I'm committing to you today to be more in your word, to be more yielding to the Holy Spirit's transforming my life than I was in 2022. Let's let God be God and allow Him to do what He says He's going to do here. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I've done my best to speak what I think you wanted me to speak. God, I pray that each one of us in here would yield to the Holy Spirit's work in our life. God, if there's one here tonight that or today that doesn't know you, God, I pray that they would accept the fact that they're a sinner, that they miss the mark. Trust that Jesus left heaven and came, lived a perfect life, and died a death that we all deserve. Took the penalty of our sin. And I pray that they would accept that gift of salvation that he freely asks us to receive. For some, maybe it's joining this church. For some, maybe it's, I need to follow through in baptism as a public display of what I've asked Christ into my life. And I want to share that with this body of believers. Maybe it's just making a commitment and saying, God, I just need to be more committed in my spiritual growth this year than I have been. Whatever it is, Lord, lead us and guide us at this time.